You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hoofit.
P.S. Canada rocks.
And.
Would you like Shoe Dudes? Would that be better for you?
And Hot Pots.
Do you know how much bandwidth my voice consumes?
Hello, good morning, and good evening, whichever it applies. Thanks for joining us for episode 11 of The Training Dummies, recorded September 6, 2012. I am Taylor. I play a druid tank named Hoofit. Joining me tonight, as always, is Rob, the DPS DK, Hotpox, and Daryl, the resto shaman hend. This episode, we're going to discuss optimization. Before we get started, though, Hotpox, nice. How's your week been?
Tonight, I was the DPS Shadow Priest, and we got in and nine-manned our raid because we just had some MIA folks, and we actually grabbed some cross-realm friends and went in and just tore through it. It was like a little over an hour and just got through it. It was pretty cool. I'm experimenting with a couple other classes who have caught my eye here since 5.0.4, and Shadow Priest and Fury Warrior are on the list right now of some a couple of classes that I like quite a bit. Week has been pretty good. Been fairly laid back. Got some sick folks at home, so I've been taking care of them and put them to bed.
You have six folks at home.
Six cents. Yeah, but we're doing good. I've been having a lot of fun playing with the new patch. I have not touched any healing classes yet, which I generally do. I like to get in and play them all, but I've been really focusing in on DPS and a little bit of tanking, some warrior tanking and some death knight tanking, or actually a little pally tanking. Those are the only ones I've messed with, but there's just still so much to kind of wrap my head around, and I want to drill down onto a couple, like I said, the Shadow Priest, Fury Warrior, and of course Hotpox, and make sure I've got everything lined up and see where it goes from here. But yeah, it's been fun. So
you didn't have to deal with that too much going from Wrath to Cataclysm, did you?
No, I didn't actually. I certainly didn't have I think I only had one max level tune at that time, and I wasn't part of the raiding group, so I didn't have to learn a whole lot. I was still rolling a lot of lobies and just kind of messing with stuff, so it was still all new info to me when Cata really came out, or when I really got into the content. But yeah, it's been a lot, with one max level of each class. It's a lot to wrap your brain around.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. And what's up with you, man? What have you been doing? Get your head through the door yet? Everything good up there?
It's not quite done yet. But yeah,
widen it a little bit more.
Just a little bit more. Yeah, that's what I've spent my whole weekend, long weekend. I spent the whole weekend working on that kitchen. So it's getting close to where my part is done. I hope to have the floor in on Sunday. And then it's up to the cabinet guy to get in here and put everything in. So hopefully he's ready. We talked to him. He says he's ready, but that's suspect whether he is or not. So we'll see come Monday if he's here installing cabinets or we're waiting for another month, which I sure hope doesn't happen. In-game, I haven't been doing much. The only character I've actually touched is my Shaman Hend, and that's it. So I haven't looked at pally heals, druid heals, priest heals, nothing yet. So I today talking in Horderly's chat, we had Famous Amos in there, and he was discussing the paladin heals, and I think I'll be looking into that the next time I'm in game, probably tomorrow, because it sounds pretty interesting, some of the changes that have gone in there, and I'm really looking forward to getting a look at that as well.
He was talking about that Shockadin spec, and I read today and was actually talking with another guy that they had nerfed that real quick because pallies were doing like 117k damage crits with their holy shock, so that got I got dialed back real quick, so I don't know if the quote unquote shock it in spec is going to be viable or not.
I wouldn't guess that it is, but you never know, I suppose. But even just when he was talking about all of the abilities Paladin gets, and then of course it caused me to go and look at the talent tree, and there's some really interesting talents there for the Paladin. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to having a look at that. There's one other thing I did this week, but I don't want to spoil a Hoofit's news, so I'll let him go first. What have you done this week?
Well, I'm pretty sure that the last time I forgot last episode to bring up a tally, I think. And I think it was episode 9 was the last time I mentioned anything. And I think at episode 9 I was at 800 archaeology solves looking for that vial pattern. And this week I didn't do hardly any archaeology at all during that first little bit because I was playing Hoofit. But then over the weekend I decided, okay, it's time to kick this back into gear. And I noticed that they increased the number of digs per site from 3 to 6. And it did not take long for me to just really save up a whole bunch of fragments to start solving artifacts. And I got up to 931, and that's...
Gosh.
That is when I got the Vial of the Sand pattern.
We need some sort of...
I know.
It'll be the sound clip for you.
Oh, crap, I know.
Dude, that's like... That's almost 1,000 solves.
Well, so I didn't stop there because I'm crazy. So I've got the Vial of the Saturn. Vial of the Saturn. The Vial of the Sand
a little
pattern.
Economical four-door car around.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
That's awesome. Why they went out of business, because they were run on archaeology. So Hen's non-despoiling news was that he was the first person in Guild to have one created by me, who was the first person in the Guild to actually get the pattern. So now, I didn't stop. Like I said, I still want that crawling claw pet, I think it's called. So I continued on and kept on digging. So I got the vial at 931, and that was on Tuesday or Wednesday, I don't remember, or maybe it was Monday. My tweets will say, but I don't remember to be honest. But right now, as of just before this recording and before we raided tonight, I stopped at 1,076 total solves on archaeology digs. Cool. There,
gosh, man,
and
that's ridiculous.
My hands hurt. I'm like, they are cramped digging. From, yeah, I've got all my digging, my moving, you know, my WASD, WASD controls, and everything is all hotkeyed, so I'm just flipping the camera around, hitting my red, yellow, green with my add-on, and going that direction, and my hands are all cramped up from just being stuck in that position.
Gimp claw thing going on.
Yeah, I'm gonna need a crawling claw to help me play the game after this. So yeah, that's what's been going on.
Yeah, that's just crazy. That is, yeah, talking
I'm
about
gonna
to, diseases.
I'm gonna have to scrounge some gold up and see about getting you to make me that vial pattern, or that vial with sans drake. who was the first one you gave a ride to, and
Tim?
Taz. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, that was
him. That's awesome. Did you sing "I Can Show You the World"?
No,
I think I'm pretty sure I heard that he had to wipe down the saddle when he was done.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I may wait on that one.
Alrighty, let's carry on then. We got mail again, which is still surprising me. It's awesome. We love to get it. So We got an email from Travissimo, a holy paladin on Medivh Horde side. And he says he's a recent newcomer to the show. I must say that I love it and download it every week. Now, the rest of his email here, I'm going to paraphrase a bit because it's fairly lengthy, and he's asking a question about a mouse over macro. So what he wants to do is create a macro that has 4 abilities on it that he can map to his 5 mouse buttons, so he can get 20 abilities on 5 mouse buttons. What he's trying to do is create a lesser UI, one that not so beefy. So he's trying to get rid of click and LVUI. It is possible.
Yes,
I had
it
to
is.
Log into the game and test this out. I had never tried anything quite so monstrous as this.
Yeah, it sounds pretty aggressive with the, he uses like 2 or 3 skills on one button, but.
Yeah, so the first one is a control shift modifier for one spell, then a control modifier, shift modifier, and then just casting a spell, all on mouse overs. So I did test this. It does work, much to my surprise. I'd never thought to do anything quite this crazy. But yes, it works. So we'll put this beast of a spell in the show notes tonight. But yeah, I don't know what else to say about this other than...
The Godfather of Macros doubted whether or not you could do this?
Look, I gotta say that Travissimo is... I mean, I thought I was a macro freak, and this, I mean, this just topped us all. I mean, we may have written it for you, but this is going to be the guy that's using it. So, this...
Yeah, that's awesome, though, man. I mean, that makes me rethink, like, can I streamline mine even more, you know? I kind of fall into a bit of a pattern where interrupts always go here, you know, hots or dots always go here. Medium, you know, medium deal always goes here. AoE damage, AoE heals always goes here. You know, maybe I could even, stream that even more and streamline whatever. Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, fine. So, I mean, my habit is, I mean, I've got macros, whether they're on my keyboard keybinds or my mouse keybinds, but generally, I try to keep everything instant on the mouse and anything with a cast time on the keyboard. Obviously, melee classes tend to not have a whole lot of casting time things, but just for an example, you know, on the mage, you know, in anything that is an instant cast or that is something that you project out onto the field, like Flame Strike or Blizzard or Freezing Circle. Dang it. I forget what it's called now.
Blue circle with dots in it.
Ring of Frost.
Ring of Frost. Thank you. Oh my goodness. what did I say? Freezing circle. You know what I mean.
Ring of
it's
Frost.
The thing that does the thing, and it does the thing to the people. Anyway, so yeah, all the instant stuff is on the mouse because, you know, I'm using my keyboard for moving, and. Anything with a cast time, I'm not going to be moving, with the exception of some of the new talents. But most of the time, I'm not going to be moving while I'm casting. So I've got all of my cast time spells right above my WASD and all my instant cast spells on the mouse so that, you know, when I'm doing it, they're intuitive to each other based on what I'm doing. So, yeah, you know. But, I mean, I still have shift modifiers and stuff, but, man...
I gotta ask
that
you real
nutty.
Quick. This is totally off the subject, but I gotta ask you real quick. I saw you on a different tune yesterday, and I actually did a run with you on a different tune, and it kind of surprised me a little bit. I know you were digging into Hoof It a lot, but I gotta ask, man, what did you think? Who are you playing, and what did you think of that?
Who, me?
Yesterday when we,
You talking about the mage?
Yeah. What did you think about that with the new stuff there?
Oh, it was fine. I mean, I thought it was actually pretty cool. I stayed arcane. I didn't go into fire, even though I kind of really wanted to. But I thought, you know, with all the new stuff, let me just see what Arcane looks like real quick. So I hadn't played Fire for a few months, so I decided to, you know, have a closer comparison to what Arcane just was and what it's just become. And I thought it was really cool. Being able to have Living Bomb and Ice Barrier and Arcane Barrage shooting off three different directions for AoE stuff. I thought it was, it's like they made Arcane a lot more AoE friendly. And from what I've heard, it sounds like, and Fire's counter to that is that it's more or less RNG, so that it's a little bit more reliable. So it sounds like they're both kind of getting close to the same thing, and you can just kind of do what you want and have fun doing in the visuals that you like the most. I like it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot more Frost Mages running around, and even in like five mans and stuff, so that's kind of cool. But yeah, I know you weren't planning on digging into too much else, but on the Mage, I just wanted to see what you thought. You looked like you were tearing it up pretty good.
Yeah, I was, well, oh man, without that, I mean, that was the only run I had done. And it's kind of funny, because I had even stopped at one point because one of my macros wasn't working. And so I'm just sitting there, everybody's doing their thing, and I'm like, ah, they're all right. You know, we got three or four guildies in here. Yeah. They'll be fine. So I just stopped DPSing, and I'm all right in my macro, and I'm like, wait, there's nothing wrong. Everything's matching up. Why isn't it working? And it wasn't that the macro was broken. I was trying to polymorph something on an undead, and I wasn't thinking. I'm like, why isn't polymorph working? This is retarded. But
that must have been. I was like, man, I'm kicking butt all of a sudden. I don't know what's going on. I'm kicking Hoof's butt. Oh wait, he's right in a macro. He's not doing anything.
just stopping right in the mid run. And
I'm like, oh yeah, I'm tearing it up. You like that? Oh wait, he's writing a macro.
Hey, yeah, it's important. Ought to have those working.
But yeah, once I get used to it, I think, I mean, it, just with all of the classes and all the new stuff. I mean, that was my first run, and I was already pulling ridiculous amounts of DPS before, you know, I haven't even looked really close to see, am I missing a key ability somewhere that I should be using in between, or it's kind of like on Hoof It, I hadn't realized that Frenzied Regeneration changed, and so I hit it thinking I'm going to heal everybody, and it doesn't heal everybody anymore. it's like an instant heal. With no cooldown instead of a heal over time with a cooldown. And, you know, I hadn't looked at that first week. So it kind of took me off guard when I finally realized what was going on. Same thing with the Mage. I'm sure there's some things that I'm missing. But for a first trial run, that was pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad you got a chance to dig in and see some other stuff, too. That was a fun run. Let's see, we got Duke of Earl here. I was kind of chatting back and forth with him on Twitter a little bit, and he said, all right, well, here's a question for you. Since you have the disease, when will it be acceptable for you to level an alt? With all the reputation, dailies, gearing, dungeons, raids, challenge modes, when is it okay to say, okay, time for an alt? I just wonder how people feel about this. I can't see playing an alt anytime soon after launch. So, I'm pretty sure we each got something to say on this. I'll go ahead and give my two cents here. Basically, the way I understand that some of the point systems are going to work, for example, Valor, you're going to be able to, when you Valor cap for the week, you're going to get bonus Valor that is going to go to any of your alt tunes. So you cap out, you go hop over to play an alt, you're going to get extra Valor. You don't have to go through everything like you would. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like twice as much or you know, 50% more or something like that. And so really it's going to depend on your time schedule. If you're really casual and you don't get to get on that much and you don't have the time and you're trying to grind out and you're trying to level up, you know, you're probably not going to have time for an alt. If you do get to play a little bit more, if you're able to grind out your points, you know, if you've done everything that you can do in order to gear out, if you're running heroics, you know, if you're kind of getting all the pieces that you can, depends on your raid team. They're staggering the raids now, so it's going to be a week before, you know, before anyone's going to be able to get into the first raid. And then after that, I think it's another week or 2 weeks. You know, they're staggering the schedule, so it's a lot more friendly to people that don't want to just go and take a week off of work and just sit there with a case of Monster and coffee and just try and plow through it. So all that being said, for me personally, it's going to depend on our team, how we're doing. I'm gonna have to really make a decision at that time who I want to focus on and get in and run the guild runs, you know, learn the runs, get up to level 90, learn the heroics, and start finding out with all these different ways to get valor. You know, you can get valor through archaeology, you can get it through dailies, you can get it, you know, there's, you know, all kinds of new ways of doing this stuff. So what are you in the mood for that day? So I don't know. For me personally, I will play an alt. In fact, I've got a buddy who's wanting to do recruit a friend, and I will be leveling a monk with him. So I will find time to fit that in. But I also know that that my team comes first, and I'm going to make sure that I get a tune ready to do what we need to do to get in and raid and do heroics and all that. So, Hind, what's your take on that?
Well, as soon as the patch hits, I'm going to be leveling Hand, of course, and I'll be leveling with my wife Chariot, and she'll be on her mage. But the thing is, I stay up later than her. Like, I think she was asleep an hour ago here already, and we're probably going to be recording here for another hour. So, it's happened every expansion where this is kind of the dynamic that occurs, is that, you know, when she goes to bed, I want to keep playing, but I don't want to out-level her or do any quests without her, because we enjoy doing the expansion, leveling up to camp together. So what I'll do in that instance is, once she goes to bed, I'll hop onto an alt. So I'll probably do my paladin, actually. As well, my paladin is a miner, and Hand is a jewel crafter engineer. So I need to be running my paladin alt to be mining to supply mats for Hand's professions. So, you know, right away, I'll be doing my paladin right away. You know, I'll probably play my paladin the very first day, even though I'm focusing, you know, mainly on Hand, getting him up to cap. I'm pretty sure I'll be on my paladin the first day as well. You know, that's just the way it goes, and kind of the dynamic I have with my wife for an expansion. Hoofit, what's your take on this subject?
Really, it's just whatever you have time for it and what you feel like committing to. In our case, if we're waiting for 10 people to hit level cap so we can start running heroics and gear up for raiding, or however that's going to work in Myst, I know they're kind of changing that a little bit, but, you know, we may not have 10 to go in right away, so maybe I'll spend some time gearing up the druid, and then just to break it up a little bit, I'll get on the mage or one of my other tanks, or, you know, just kind of break it up while I'm doing that. But I'm only going to be doing it as time allows for it. Hoofit's my priority, so of course he's going to get all my attention. And if we get 10 people that all hit level cap on the same day and we start raiding, then I'm not going to dedicate time to an alt. It just depends on what's going on around me. That's all.
True.
Yeah, you guys made it sound all that easy.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. There's not a whole lot to it for me. I just look at it as, hey, I'm going to play, and, you know, I only play dedicated one or two nights a week, and any other time else during the week is kind of just an hour here or an hour there, or, like, and after the wife goes to bed, then I'll jump in voice and hang out and do all kinds of stuff. But yeah, it's just based on what you have time and what you're, you know, if you're part of a group, how that time fits in with that group's time.
Oh yeah, and like I was saying, you have so many different options of doing things. You don't have to grind heroics to get valor points anymore, and you know, and if you are interested in playing an alt, you know, you get that bonus points. So It's just going to depend on what you want to do. If you want to play two tunes, you know, you'll have plenty of time to level up to 90, and it's not a problem at all. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of the concern is, you know, I'm sure there's going to be, what about my pet battles, or what about challenge modes, or all of the other new stuff. There's so many new different things coming in. Will you have time to do that with all of your alts? Well, eventually you will. Maybe not right out of the gate, but you know, during the summertime is a huge time for most people to sit around on their thumbs and wish other people were logging in. You know, that's going to be the time for me. That's my alt time, is when we're shorthanded people. Now, moving on, we've got another comment here from Ella Mari. She's been quite active on our blog, and just thought I'd throw this out here. It's not exactly an email, but she said, hey guys, just throwing a 2 cents in regards to the listener question about leveling as a feral druid. We had addressed that a while, episode or two back. Was that 9? Anyway, Ella Mari has been playing feral since 2008. And she has a nice blog post specifically to this question for leveling as the now feral druid. So, kitty druid. And her blog is fileunderferal.wordpress.com. And we'll put a link in the show notes, or you can look back at our comments on the blog, and you can find her website, because this was a comment on the blog. So go check her out, Ella Mari, and look at the guide. I read through it, and it's basically a lot of what I said, except with actual names, not just, you know, orange claw, red claw, black claw. So yellow, yeah, face. that's gonna make a lot more sense.
We had another interaction I had earlier. I'm not sure, is this a Delore it was thing?
Yeah, it was a Twitter that ended up being an email.
Yeah, really cool. And another new listener that had kind of picked us up via another show, I think. So that's super cool. I'm going to say Delorfin. That's how I'm going to pronounce that, unless it works. We got something else. He says, this is a follow-up tweet that I had with Rob. The question was, why a dual spec, and what do you guys use it for? I understand it saves character space, and that you can set up one character with two spec, but if you're running your main in one manner, why would you want to switch? And then he goes into a little bit about him, his tunes. He's been playing for a few years, and I'll kind of leave his information out of it, but he says, I've been playing since vanilla, joined AIE on the Earthen Ring a little bit over a year ago after finding the Instance podcast. Really enjoy your show, and I hope you keep them coming for the Horde.
Yes. Yes,
good man. Good man. Yes. Well, you're definitely doing that right. So, so the question here that he really asks is, what's the point of dual specking? Why would you do it? What are the advantages? Hind, why don't you go? I know you you had a frugal comment about it, so why don't you take it first here.
Well, when they put in dual spec, it saved me 100 gold a week. In Burning Crusade, I was raid healing when we were doing Karazhan, and I would heal for the Friday night raid. As soon as the raid was over, I'd spend my 50 gold to spec back to enhancement so that I could do quests, do anything. Because especially that you could not, if you were a resto shaman, you couldn't kill anything. It would take you, you know, 20 minutes to kill something. So you don't want to be running around, you know, as restoration. So I'd switch enhance, and then come next Friday, I'd spend 50 gold, go back to restoration. When it was over, I'd spend 50 gold, go back to enhance, and I'd do that every week. That was the best thing they ever did, was put in dual spec. For that regard, but even now, yeah.
In some cases, even now, even 100 gold a week is probably not that much for if somebody was doing battlegrounds in between, in addition to raiding, in addition to questing, they probably even switching it up more before they had dual spec.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Yeah. But then even now, you know, I have, you know, my DPS and healing spec. When we were doing Dragon Soul in the beginning, and we were on Altraxian. We were not beating the enrage timer because we didn't have the DPS. So what we ended up doing was, for that fight, I did DPS on that fight, and we just went with two healers. The reason we picked me is because my DPS was higher than the other two healers in their DPS specs. But we were able to beat that, and we actually beat Altraxian before any of the nerfs. And the reason we were is because I had a dual spec. So for that fight, I was able to go DPS versus heals, whereas the other four bosses before that in the raid, I had to be the healer. You know, we had to run three healers in the beginning. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why you want dual spec is to do that. And I know, you know, with the Puffin and Hotpox here, you know, there's DPS and tanking options that we might need to look at as well. So, you know, Puffin, why do you have dual specs, or why would you?
In Wrath, I had, for a while, I had a tanking spec, obviously, and a healing spec, mostly because I wanted to learn how it was for druid healers and what I could expect from a druid healer in five mans or raids. So I'd practice healing a little bit on that, and it was just fun to change it up every now and then as well. After that, I decided, okay, well, I've had my fun healing, and I know what to expect. I know how everything works. I know what, you know, if I have to give a guidance on something, I can direct somebody on what to do well enough. So I got rid of my healing spec and got a second tanking spec. And the reason why I had done that was because what you needed for raiding wasn't exactly what you needed for five-man heroics. So I could really crank up the DPS quite a bit in five-man heroics because I didn't need all of the, necessarily the raid talents for raiding. So it was kind of like, okay, if I'm doing five-mans, I'll go into this spec, and if I'm doing raids, I'll go into this spec. And whichever way you do it, whether you're switching roles or just a different type of role or just something to change up how you do things, it's just easier to do it. It costs a lot of money to do, but the convenience is there. And over the long run, so you were spending, what was it, 1,000 gold at the time, or was it more?
I think it cost 1,000 gold. When they first put it in, it cost 1,000 gold to get the ability to dual spec.
Jeez, man.
So is it that much
now?
Still?
No, it's like not 10 that expensive.
Oh, jeez. It's like, well, yeah, even at that, even at that, even at 1,000 gold, in 10 weeks, you had already paid for it. It had already paid for itself.
Silly.
So,
yes.
Yeah. With the mage at the time, you know, it was, I was frost spec for PvP, and then arcane spec for PvE. And then when I stopped doing PvP on the mage, I had a fire spec and an arcane spec because some fights really needed a lot of AoE damage that arcane was not so great at the time. So another reason to just switch it up, you know, one fight you're doing this, you're making yourself more versatile, and you're giving your group a better chance. If you're out soloing, maybe it's not going to help you all that much because you're just going to pick whatever you like to do and just roll with it. But when you're doing group stuff, it can be a great asset in your group's tool set. Can you tell I've been doing interviews lately?
Yes, I can. Just in addressing this particular question, you guys summed it up really well. My two cents too is, I like having a lot to do, and kind of like Hoof was saying, being able to understand what someone else is doing, or to be able to give guidance, or really even what to expect. You know, if you're raid tanking, you know, playing other classes and playing other specs, you know what you can, you know, what cooldowns they have and what to expect, and you know what the healer's capable of, and it just brings a whole new dynamic to it. And even more so now, I'm noticing even a lot of the DPS classes in this most recent patch have like a raid cooldown. They have some sort of ability that they can do that, you know, whether it's a you know, your damage is converted to healing to the group around you, you know. So so I know, you know, because I can heal and because I can DPS and because I can tank, you know, I can jump into any one of those roles at you know, without having to log out, without having to go get another team, without having to do something. I can do it on the fly. You know, for a while I was making sure to bring a tune into Dragon Soul that could heal as an off spec, because we needed, you know, we were pretty much two healing everything, but then on Spine you had to have that little cushion with three heals. So, you know, all I had to do was swap up specs real quick, good to go. You know, they didn't have to put the raid on hold and wait and summon another guy in, and you know, and especially now with losing half group will travel, it just makes it real easy to be able to do that stuff on the fly. So it's I don't know, it's kind of why not. You know, I understand people sometimes, there are people out there that like, I play this, that's it. I play Affliction Warlock, that's it. I don't have alts, don't do this, don't do that. And that's fine. But, you know, I like having the opportunity to go out and quest and tear things up in a DPS spec. But if I want to, if I want to pug something, which Hand wouldn't know anything about that, but if I want to jump into a quick five man, I can tank or I can heal, and it's not something I have to go and figure out. It's just right there. It's a button. I hit the button, I can do it right there.
Another thing to keep in mind, when you're even with the new talent system where you can change one talent instead of having to redo the whole talent tree, even if all you wanted to change was one talent, it's still helpful. Let's say you are only playing an Affliction Warlock. Now, I'm not going to know any of these darn talents, but let's just say you're playing a
soul in front of something.
All right, soul talent number one. So you're playing an Affliction Warlock, and you don't play Demonology. You don't play the other one. Oh man,
destruction.
Thank you. So yeah, you don't play either of those other two specs. You only play Affliction. But let's say even in the new talent system, even if you only wanted to adjust one or even two talents, heck, even just one talent. Let's just say you only wanted to adjust one. Well, you need a reagent to do that. You need a dust of disappearance. So if you have a dual spec, you don't have to keep those materials on you or be caught with not realizing you had run out of them. You can have that dual spec that has everything exactly the same except for that one talent. And once you've set it in place, it's done. So you can just switch back from the one to the other on the fly. And it's no big deal.
Yep. That's it. Good question.
All right. So I guess we can move on to our main topic. That took a long time to get to here. We asked you guys on Twitter, you've got Noxic, you've got Icy Veins, Elitist Jerks, Ask Mr. Robot, and Wowhead, and we were wondering, that was just some of the stuff we came off the top of our heads, we were asking, what other WoW sites do you use for strategy, resources, information, or optimization? And rather than read off everybody's Twitter response, I know we usually like to do that, but there was really only a few results, and there was a lot of Twitter comments. So instead of just reading the same website with 20 different users saying the same website, we'll just kind of go through the websites that were mentioned, and we'll kind of give a brief overview about them. So the first one I'm going to bring up is Ask Mr. Robot. This one, mostly because it's an optimization site, and I've got a guide on it that I wrote and put pictorial examples so you can see the site, see the different options. It's kind of intimidating when you first look at it, but it's really pretty simple to use. One of the confusing things that it can show you is it might show you that you're poorly optimized. If you don't have all epic gems, you can actually change these settings and have it, show non-epic gems, or, you know, exclude everything below the epic gems or above it, epic gems or higher. there's even certain enchants that you can filter out to show it. So you can technically be 100% optimized if you go into the settings and tell it that you don't want it to recommend epic gems. You don't want it to recommend certain types of enchants. And then whenever you refresh your character, it'll say, well, since you don't want these things based on what you have, okay, this is what you have to optimize as. So again, it's a very powerful website, very powerful tool for specifically optimizing your character based on what you currently have, what your current enchants are, and it'll give you a direction to start off in to make your character better. It's not going to tell you how to play your class. It's assuming that you've already know pretty much the basic gist of what you need. But there are other sites that can help you learn how to play your class. And, Han, why don't you start off with the next one?
Wait. Real quick, though. You said you wrote a guide?
Yes. Was this guide
featured on a prominent WoW website, perchance?
Yes, it was featured on a WoW Insider. And
I think that's awesome. That's super cool. So
it is.
And well, they've that. Actually on their forums, they've actually include. I know I've mentioned this before. I think on maybe our introduction or first episode or something, but they featured this guide on their actual forums on under the instructions and frequently asked questions. It links straight to the guide that I wrote up. So it's got the step-by-step instructions on how to load your character, how to bring everything, where the settings are to adjust if you want to show epic gems or not, or what even level of content you're at. Although most of the time it can tell based on what gear you have equipped at what level of content it should be suggesting to you. So like if you're really, really low item level, it probably won't suggest the epic gems yet until you get up into the 378 or higher range type, you know. It's pretty intuitive for the most part. So, but anyway, yeah, that guide has most of the, if you look at it and you're confused all to heck, it'll help you learn how to use it so that you can use it properly. Hand, kick it off.
All right. Another site we like to use is Noxic. It's very friendly, very casual. Now, it's not the best for min-maxing, but it'll give you some generalizations. You know, it'll say, you know, in general, you want to hit your haste cap, or you want to get haste up to this amount, and then, you know, your next stat, you want to focus on mastery or whatever. Plus, it'll give you some of the basic rotation. Now, this is, I'd say it's one of the more basic sites. One of the, I'd say almost a beginner site. If you're trying out a new spec, for instance, this is probably one of the places you want to go first, so that you can try and figure out exactly what you need to do first, you know, before you get into the nuts and bolts of everything and get right down into it. You know, this is a great place to start so that, you know, you can learn the basics of your class or basics of a new spec. I know when I was learning up the priest, this is the first place I went, was Noxic, to, you know, for discipline spec. I'm like, well, I've never done this before. I don't know anything about it. So, you know, I used this to help guide me, and then once I was level cap, I leveled all the way as discipline, and then once I was level cap, I'm like, well, I want to try holy now, but I don't know where to start. All I know about it, holy is light well, and no one clicks that damn thing anyway. So, you know, that was it. And so I went to Noxic, and it helped guide me through as a starting point on what I needed to do.
Yeah, I think even though people classify this as a beginner website, I think one of its saving graces is that it is very consolidated. It's very easy to find the information you want right away. I mean, you can't get lost on this site.
Exactly.
They even have other games. You click on the game you want. You click on if you want PvE or PvP. You click on the class you want. You click on the spec you want. And then everything else from there on out is just, it's right there. It doesn't confuse you with a bunch of stuff. So, yeah, it's like you said, it's casual, but it can give you a ton of very valuable information right off the bat. Even if it isn't in the min-max range, it's definitely in the performance range, I would say.
Right. Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention about Noxic, well, and even any of these sites, maybe I'll just throw this out real quick. With 5.0.4, a lot of these, you know, Noxic included, will give you your spec recommendation and your glyph recommendation. And these are so up in the air right now. You know, I know there is going to be a point where some of these sites are going to say, for this fight, do this. For this fight, do this. You know, but like on Noxic, for Prot Warrior, for example, it gave me a couple of recommendations. And one of them, I realized later that something had been left out that was a staple in my toolkit was being able to use your heroic throw to silence an enemy. And as a tank, you need that. You need that for those ranged mobs to silence them and get them into the group for the AoE. And that wasn't recommended as part of their site. So you really got to go through this, look at the talents and glyphs for yourself and decide what fits your style. You know, if you're just looking for stat weights and real quick, you know, and I just want to try this out. I'm not even really sure if I want to do this. I just want to see what's the basic rotation look like. What do these do? What should I do? You know, Noxic is a great place to go. And like Hoof said, it's really casual and easy to read. But I go there for almost every single one of mine. You know, I don't remember what every spell is on every class, and I'm like, just want to get a quick overview. It's a great site, great place to go. All right, good. I'll jump right into this next one here then, unless you guys had any more on that.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, we got Icy Veins. This is an extremely popular, great, great website. It's very, very, very thorough. It gets into... it kind of picks up a little bit where Noxic leaves off. It gives thorough explanations on all of the skills, all the talents, all the glyphs. They give you recommendations on what to use, and they tell you why. You know, Noxic will show you your tree and say, pick this, this, and this, and this. Icy Veins actually goes through each one and says, hey, we recommend this because this. So, you know, you can get a little bit more info as far as that goes, and it is helpful if you have the time and energy to go through it. It does get overwhelming though, because there's so much info on that site. It kind of feels cluttered. It feels a little bit like walls of text when I look at it, and if you're going there to learn up on a class that you haven't really touched before or haven't played in a while, it's going to be a lot of information, and unless you know what you're looking for or you're just really fluid in the game, it may be a little much. You may want to start off with Noxic, but Icy Veins is a really good site. Tons of great info. You know, I've heard some interviews with the guys on other shows, and they seem like stand-up guys who just really enjoy the game, and they're trying to do something good for the community. So that's my two cents on Icy Veins.
Yeah, one thing I noticed too, where Icy Veins also picks up where Noxic leaves off, is they have other information beyond just your character. They have information on five-man dungeons and raids, so you can get an overview of a boss fight if you want, and you know, a generic recommended strategy to defeat a boss in a particular dungeon. So, and they have a forums, and they have, I mean, it's definitely a lot more information. It's a lot more involved than Noxic. But yes, it can, because of the amount of information, if all you want is to look at something, not really have to, you want to get on a performance level and you want to jump into something right away, Noxic will do the job for you. If you want to start fine tuning it and diving a little bit deeper into that, then Icy Veins is where you're going to want to go next. But like I said, I know fights. I know most of everything else. So for me, most of the time, I don't need the in-depthness that Icy Veins provides. I can look at Noxic and go, oh yeah, that's what I needed.
Yeah,
and pick something out real quick. And you can't really get that with Icy Veins because it is a lot of information. But it's good information. So if you're not sure what you're doing, and you do want to dive in a little bit more of, okay, so these are the abilities I'm using, but why am I using these? Or, you know, why are they suggesting this? Icy Veins does have that extra information, so it can help you learn a little bit more about what you're doing if you're not sure yet.
Next, we've got YouTube. There are lots of channels on YouTube that provide lots of information. I know, you know, we're always, a lot of times you'll find raid teams are looking up strats on YouTube and looking at videos that other people have posted. But in addition to that, a lot of people post information on classes. One person who has gone through all the changes in Mists is actually Preach. And Preach Gaming, now his channel is youtube.com/MikePreachWow. And I think on there you'd probably be able to find just about every class and every spec, a video for it where he goes through and explains the abilities and everything. You know, it's a great resource, and his videos are entertaining as well.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, Rob posted one today from him actually about warrior tanking with one button, and what was it? Was it the revenge ability? Is that
Yep.
Oh my God, that was quite the video, and you know, it almost makes me want to roll a warrior. But
you know, he's doing 60k DPS in an hour of Twilight Run, just by spamming revenge. That's it. Nothing else. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But yeah, there's a with YouTube though. You're gonna find some awesome stuff, and you're gonna find big old piles of feces everywhere, and the community there is a whole different beast too. There's a lot of anonymity and negativity and whatnot. So you gotta just dig in, find what you like. There's the Preach Gaming channel, the Fat Boss TV channel, TGN WoW. You know, and a lot of these do in-depth guides on classes, strategies on dungeon fights, and you can actually watch them. So that's one of the things I liked about YouTube, is that you can watch it. Someone's explaining to you, like all the Preach ones. I'm a huge Preach fan. I got a man crush on Preach. That dude's amazing. I got a bro fist for days, man. That guy's just awesome. He'll go through. He's already done the monk classes. So if you guys are interested in any monk stuff, he's put in. What he does is he does one video first. That's basically like he explains the class. He goes through the book, through your talents, explains everything. And you know, here's what's going on, and then he does a playthrough a level and shows you and explains the whole time what he's doing, and he's making fun of the people that are being stupid, and it's hilarious, and he's tearing it up, and he's like great at every class. So I don't know, I'll get off my fanboy there for a minute, but but yeah, I love the Preach stuff there. So yep, keep an eye out on that, and you know, if you guys have a favorite channel or anything like that, you know, tweet it to us. We can add it to the show notes too.
Yeah, or if you're a channel owner,
retweet it. Hoofit was doing his own series of Dragon Soul videos, and you know, maybe we'll see if we can continue that. And I don't want to volunteer too much of his unemployed time right now, but
well, mostly, you know. Mostly I did that because, you know, you watch a video on how you do it, but it's also helpful to see how your own raid team does it. So you know, in our guild, this was how we do it. You see me tanking, you see Taz tanking, you see Han standing in Shockwave. You know what to expect from us.
Right.
Yeah, anyway, so yeah, there's also some extremely, extremely math detailed sites out there. One comes to mind, Elitist Jerks. This is a very, very informative place with some very in-depth opinions of all kinds. These are opinions of not so intelligent people, and in addition to opinions of some extremely intelligent people doing crazy math and the most absolute min-maxing, you know, you have not seen min-maxing until you've read some of these forum threads. I find the downside to Elitist Jerks is I find this is a very difficult place to navigate to what you want, what you need. Sometimes there's just not something there, and what you end up finding is something old, not realizing it.
Yeah.
Trying to put two and two together, and you're like, man, this really isn't making sense, but I'll try it, and then you try it, and it doesn't work out, and But if you can find the relevant information, the current information, and you are really looking to squeeze every millisecond out of your game to punch through that blockage that you're having problems with.
are we talking about the same thing here?
So, yeah, it has a lot more detail than I would... I mean, it's a very busy site. It's got a lot of discussion on it, but I would say that it's not for the regular player. You can still glean a lot of great information from it, and I wouldn't... If you can handle sifting through tons and tons of posts, I would recommend going to it. There's just been times where I've gone there, and I'm looking for an answer on one specific thing, and it's got 20 pages of posts, and half of these posts are completely irrelevant to the discussion. They are not helpful posts. They're just people griping or complaining about one thing or another thing, and it's counterintuitive to the original post. Maybe it needed an update, or there was a formula wrong, and so you're trying to find through 20 pages of garbage the person that corrected the error that says, no, you need to do this instead. So that's where my primary frustration comes with Elitist Jerks. But it is a very, very good site if you can get through that.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I haven't gone to Elitist Jerks since... Well, definitely not since Kata started, and I don't even know when in Wrath. It's just... Yeah, you know, I used to go all the time, but like you said, it's very hard to navigate. All the information is there, and it's all very detailed, but it's just a matter of trying to find it if you're not following the forum threads every day. Finding the current information can be difficult. Like, I know they, you know, there's usually the front page of a specific thread or the first few posts of a specific thread where the author of that thread will update it, but then... You know, it's very daunting. It's definitely very daunting. And yeah, I sometime through Wrath is probably the last time I've even used that site for myself.
So I'm going to move on to another one that's recommended. I have gone here a couple of times. I don't use it a whole lot. Some of these other ones are just so easy to use and so popular and updated that some of these get overlooked. But this one is Max DPS. Yeah, it's very similar to Icy Veins. The deal with this site is, though, it's a very numbers-oriented site, and all of its recommendations, all the rotations, everything is based on the fact that they get all their info from a simulation craft tool. So they take, for example, in beta, they'll take all the tier 14 gear from a raid, load that all up into SimCraft, run the numbers, and basically come back and say, here's, you know, according to this simulation, here's what's going on. Here's what this class is doing at this level. Here's what this class is doing in this gear. You know, and it's very, very, very tight. You know, you can't argue with math, really. But it doesn't leave a lot of room for play style or error or mechanics, even. You know, it's a matter of just solid numbers. So there is some good information there. You know, it's not all robotic, but that's kind of my two cents on Max DPS. But I'll cover this other one real quick here too. We got it. We're starting to run long, so we don't want to make you guys sad. Got Warcraft was one that somebody threw out there. I went and double checked that real quick, and it actually hadn't been updated for the most recent patch, or at least some of the specs that I went in and looked at here.
And also, don't forget your community, your people's individual blogs, and like the Training Dummies.
Oh yeah.
these are probably some of the best places you can go if you're looking for something specific, especially class specific. Like, I've been following pretty adamantly the Ink Bear, and following those posts. I've mentioned them on several episodes in the past for things to look for, and you know, a lot of times you may not find a site that has exactly what you want, and you'll be following an individual or a group of individuals that are blogging about something very specific to you, and they are definitely keeping their eyes open on every single change, and they're very vocal you know, looking out for every little thing that they find. So, yeah, keep an eye out for those. It may not be a go-to-all one site for everything, but it's, you know, it does, it's helpful to not only use just one site. Just broaden the tools that you use, yeah. And, you know, you'll find what fits for you based on several, you know, if you're not sure what you're going for, then you can always just kind of cross-reference. And when you see that multiple people are all kind of agreeing on one thing, then most likely that one thing is what you need to do. So
I know that with the blog posting and the community stuff, you get a lot of really great theory crafters and guys and gals that are actually real popular in the community. They spend a lot of time in beta, a lot of time in the PTR. You got Binky the Shaman. He's, you know, I think Blizzard's even watching a lot of these guys posting. Baru has her heal site. Annika has a, you know, she specializes in druid heals, and, you know, so there's a lot of great stuff out there. If you guys want to comment, you know, on this episode and leave in some of your favorite blogs and sites that you use, you know, we can make sure that that everyone gets to see those too.
Yep, and if you own a blog about something, please feel free to post it on this episode as a source for information. And if everybody goes to our site and posts their blog links, and everybody else can learn about your blog, especially if it's, you know, even if it's popular, somebody still might not know about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I never used to look at community blogs or individual blogs, but now that we're doing this show and now that I'm a lot more active on Twitter, I'm seeing a lot more of these, and I'll go and read them whenever someone posts that they have a new post, and it's the wealth of information there is astounding. Like I even read one today, I think Serenity Says, I think was the name, and she had something on Enhancement Shaman, and you know, it's stuff I hadn't had a chance to look into yet, and there it was, all right there laid out before me, you know, all the changes that came with this latest patch and stuff that I, you know, I just hadn't had a chance to look into it yet. And there it was, you know, right before me, and it was fantastic. So yeah, definitely, you know, it's one of the best resources available to you is the blogs from the community. You know, you can't go wrong with these. That's for sure.
Yep. We will never give you wrong information ever.
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 I might typo something, but it's going to be right.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. If you read it wrong, that's not our problem.
Nice. Blizzard is the one that spelled judgment wrong for their macros, not me.
All right, well, I guess it's time for maybe a little bit of this. That is, it is time for shout outs.
Yes. Dude. I had a hard time not singing along with that one, dude.
Was it the words? The words were just so
yeah, man,
empowering. You just had to sing along with that.
They hit me where I live.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, our first hen love I'm going to send out tonight is to the Hoarderlies, of course. Best guild on Deathwing, and I'm going to say all of Warcraft. There, I said it. But you guys are great.
Definitely Hearthcast. Root and Freckle continue to give us praise beyond what we deserve. Really, those guys are great. They bring I know we've said this before. They have a really kind of fun, casual, fresh perspective on things. You know, Freckle brings Root back down to earth a little bit when he's off doing his thing. So those two are great. If you haven't checked out that show, not just because they're guildies, but because it's a really cool show.
Yeah, and we also have two donators to the show, Dryad and Gondul, and I'll have a message for you here in a little bit, but regarding what we're gonna do. But they have donated some pets to the show, and we're gonna give them away. We're not going to use them for ourselves. And I want to give a shout out to... Now, we're not going to discourage that. No, I'm just kidding. I also want to give a shout out to Elamari. Elamari has been adding comments to our blog for I'm not exactly sure how long, but a lot of episodes, and they are very often useful. They're helpful and informative, and it's just nice to have a conversation with someone about a show we just did, and maybe cover something new or get an idea for something else. So thank you, Lamari.
Very cool, yeah. And I got my personal shout out. I wanted to add one to good old Joe. Wow, Marty Ann. He actually joined us last week on the show, and we had a great time with him, and that show seemed to be very well received. Glad to hear that the feedback that we've gotten was just super awesome. And he filled in doing some cross-realm raiding in Dragon Soul with us tonight. So he jumped in as a healer, and I think he may have taught him a couple of things about druid healing. So thank you.
Attention.
So thank you, Joe. That was awesome. Thanks for tagging along. Just a special shout-out. Some hand love for you.
All right, it's time for five-star reviews. We don't have any, but we did get a very nice email from Dryad, who Taylor just mentioned, who gave us a pet. And along with that email, he included the code for the pet on, he had this to say. I just finished listening to all 10 episodes of your guys' show last night at work. This has got to be in the top 2 of my favorite podcasts to listen to at work. I listened to about 10 different WoW podcasts. This show is something the WoW community needs. The info you give is such a help to any kind of WoW player, and I know in just 10 episodes I learned so many little things that made a huge difference in game. Anyways, I'd like to show my support and give you guys this little XT pet for you guys to do whatever you like with it. Except redeem it yourselves. Right,
wait,
guys?
Wait, is that the small print? Wait.
He doesn't. There's no disclaimer. There's no disclaimer. Yeah, okay. He didn't say that.
I don't have XT.
I think it's inferred. Keep the episodes coming and keep the show awesome. Dryad. Thank you, Dryad. That is great to hear stuff like that. That is the kind of stuff we love.
Of 10 podcasts in the top 2? That's crazy.
Man.
That's awesome, and I'm kind of that's a low bar. But thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we set the bar low.
Well, on the topic of the little XT pet, so I guess we need to have a contest to start giving these things away. So for now, we're going to start with, I guess we'll start tomorrow when we release this show, or today for you listeners. So yeah, keep an eye out on Twitter.
You're going to in the future.
you're going to see an entry message on Twitter from at Training Dummies, and we'll have a special tweet that'll be in regards to this contest. So be sure to retweet it and follow it if you aren't already following at Training Dummies. We're going to accept one entry per person per day, and we'll tally it all up at the end of the week and pick a random winner before our next recording, and we'll announce it on Twitter, and we will also announce it on the show. And since we have 2 pets, we'll do this for 2 weeks running.
I'd just like to add one little thing to the contest here. If I will personally see to it that you get a leg up in the competition, if you also follow me on Twitter at Rob Copeland.
Guy, he's changing the rules already.
Just saying.
Wow.
I can't speak for at Wow Hoof or at Hind _ Hoarderlies, but I can speak for myself at Rob Copeland.
Well played,
yep.
Sir.
If you follow us in addition to at Training Dummies, we will still roll a random number to pick a winner.
Yes, we will. All right, well, I think that does it for episode 11 of the Training Dummies. Be sure to check out our website, thetrainingdummies.com. If you'd like to contact any of us or the show, our information is there. We also encourage you to leave comments on the episodes. You can also like us at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies. Follow us on Twitter at Training Dummies and subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email or record an MP3 and send it to the show at thetrainingdummies.com. Thank you and good night.
Goodbye, everybody. Flint.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo!